right. John chapter 11. This morning with 1 Corinthians 15 about the defeat of death through the resurrection of Jesus. I want to look tonight at the power of Jesus that he revealed over death while he was still in this, in his earthly habitation. John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the light, he stumbles, or in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? And Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Let's pray. Lord, we also have groaned in our spirits over the loss of those who have died. And we too, Lord, want encouragement in that time. And Lord, to see this and to see you do to death what we want to do and to see you do to death what needs to be done is very encouraging. Lord, we know that you are the great, powerful God. Even death is not an enemy that can defeat you. So we pray, Lord, you would guide our thoughts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've probably heard these. I know I've preached them at funerals. This word about Lazarus. And we see that his sickness in verse 1 was such that there was concern for his life. You know, we all get sick. We have little and more major things happen to us. And the older you get, it seems, at least in my experience, that no matter what sickness you get, you start wondering how serious it is. Whereas when you're a kid, just you know, you got a cold or something. But we're told in verse 1 that Lazarus was sick, and we're told of his relationship to Mary and Martha as their brother, and we're also told that Jesus loved these three. So in every way, it is set up and explained to us that this is a concern to Jesus. He loves Lazarus. He loves Mary. He loves Martha. Mary has also shown love to Jesus. We're told of that in verse 2, as also Lazarus and Martha would have shown love in different ways. But Mary, we're told in verse 2, anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother who was sick. In every way, there is motivation and moving in the heart of Jesus that this family would not have pain. If there's any motivation, there it is. There's love given, love received. And the sisters, verse 3 tells us, sent him saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. We know about the power of Jesus to heal. Jesus goes places to heal usually. But at times, we're told of a man who said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under the roof of my house. If you'll just say the word from where you are, then my daughter will be made well. And it was so. So he didn't have to travel. But the normal thought was, if Jesus was there, then the sick could be healed. And we also know that it was in the mind and the purpose of Jesus to heal the sick. It was part of his showing himself to be the Son of God with power. Ultimately, in the resurrection of his own, from his own death, but throughout, whether it was raising the dead, healing the sick, Jesus showed himself to be the power of God. And so when he is told, the sisters tell him that Lazarus is sick, the thought is if he comes, if he's there, if he's present before the sickness gets to death, and he will heal him. Jesus said when he heard it, verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The Bible tells us that Jesus emptied himself. He was fully God, but that he laid aside the glory of God in a lot of ways when he was incarnate. He would be told things that happened afar off. But also, at times we see that he already knew what was going on afar off. So the world dealt with him as a localized person, but also at times he knew beyond. But then there are other times it would seem that he limited himself and his knowledge to just what it was around him. And as he's told about this, he shows his knowledge of the will of God. And he says, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God. In the plan of God, Jesus knows that this sickness of Lazarus is intended to glorify God and not to result in Lazarus's death. So he's after something beyond the healing of Lazarus. God is able to do that because of his wisdom. Now, if we hear this, we're on the first chance we get, first plane, first whatever, we can go and get there and try to do something, try to help in some way. But Jesus, when he heard verse 6, that he was sick, stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Verse 4 and verse 6 give us a picture of calculation. That Jesus doesn't need to rush there to accomplish the purpose that he has for Lazarus' sickness. And it shows that his purpose is, and we know it now, is that Lazarus will die and then be raised. Now we know that. We know it after the fact. Of course, Jesus knew it before the fact. That's what he said in verse 4, and that's why he did what he did in verse 6. It had nothing whatsoever to do with callousness, because in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So there's warmth, love between these. I guess with all the death we face, one of the things that will, you know, start to eat away at us is that the Lord doesn't care. Well, there's a song, I don't think we have it, David, in our hymn book, Does Jesus Care? Y'all know that song, Does Jesus Care? It's a question that is asked in the song because it is a natural thought for us. My loved one is sick. Does Jesus care? Because they get sicker. Does Jesus care? They end up dying. Does Jesus care? You see, that's reality. And so, does Jesus care? That is, in essence, in the questions that are asked of him or the statements that are made of him during this episode after Lazarus is dead, when they say, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They're almost saying, Lord, why don't you care? Why didn't you care? Because he didn't take off. He stayed 2 more days. And it's not that he was held up. It's not that he was trying to get out of town and he just got held up and there were other things. He waited on purpose before he left. Wasn't in a hurry. It wasn't urgent in the sense that things are urgent for us. When something happens and we hear about it and it's an emergency, we spring into action as quickly as we can go. And Jesus here waits 2 days. Does he care? Well, the Bible is very plain that he loves them, and they love him, and he's seeking the glory of God. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The thing the disciples found funny was not that he waited 2 days before going back, but that he went back at all. Because they said, verse 8, "The Jews sought to stone you. And are you going there again?" Their thought was Jesus needed to stay away to protect himself. It was very hard for the disciples and his friends and Mary and Martha to grasp his nature fully. Jesus was not, you know, in your face walking through the crowds and daring people to kill him. He didn't act like that. He withdrew from cities. He went around places. But in the disciples' thoughts, it was that it would be dangerous to go there. And Jesus said, "You know, while it's daylight, I need to do things that you do in the daytime. You got, you know, average through the year, 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of darkness. That changes, of course, but the average is that through the year. But just in general, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." He's saying, you know, when it's time to do something, you do it and you don't stumble. But if you do it at night, you stumble. In other words, you didn't do it during the day. And then he said, verse 11, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." How do you know that? We're not told any time in there before the declaration of how Jesus knew. But this, of course, is his divine knowledge. Although he laid aside his attributes and became a man, but he didn't lose them. And he could exercise them anytime. And he knew of Lazarus's sleep. And so he says, "Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I'm going to wake him up." And the sharp disciple said, "Lord, if he's asleep, maybe you should just leave him asleep because he's been sick and he'll be better. He'll get better." You know what the ideal sickness would be if you're sick a week? Is on the first day of the sickness, you go to sleep and you wake up on the seventh day. And it's all gone. And that's it. No sniffle stuff. I mean, you'll be hungry when you wake up. But no having to deal with all that sinus pain and the headaches or whatever you had to do with, you know, cough to where you can't even talk. None of that. You just go to sleep and wake up. So his disciples said, "Well, you know, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll get better." And, however, verse 13 says, Jesus spoke of his death. But they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. So Jesus says to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." He said in verse 4, "This sickness is not unto death." And verse 14, after the few days there, "Lazarus is dead." Now we know how it works out. We know how both can be said and the first be true, because we know what happened. And Jesus says, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Think of how different it would be if Jesus was there and Lazarus died. And then he raised him. The perfect way for it to be done is exactly the way Jesus did it. He let the time pass to where when he got there, he was 4 days
in the tomb.
That pretty much is an exclamation point on the fact that Lazarus is dead. He didn't just go out in there and you know, rest a little while. He's dead. So he says the disciples need to face this death and see what he does at death so that they'll believe. One thing that Christians have from the Lord is the ability to believe him and to trust in him and to cling to him no matter what he does. And this gives us an insight into the Lord's plan. It's a good thing I wasn't there. I would have healed him and he would never have died. And you would not believe as strongly as you should believe in my power and who I am. Verse 16, Thomas, who's called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." He was right full of faith there. So he goes there, verse 17, and finds, as I said, that he'd already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany, we're told, is near Jerusalem, 2 miles or so away. And there were a bunch of people there in mourning. Funerals are very sad events, especially when it's sudden and you just are overwhelmed by the emotions in it. And it makes it doubly or triply or quadruply hard with the fact that there's so many people upset at a funeral. And here we are 4 days in, and we're told in verse 19, many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And they could really mourn in that day. And if there weren't enough people who cared about the one who died, they would hire people to mourn because it was considered to be a worthy remembrance, tribute to the person because they were mourned. I mean, we cared that they died. And they start to hear about Jesus arriving. What they thought, we get an idea of from what they asked him once they saw him. But for 4 days now, does Jesus care? Why was Jesus not here? Why did my brother have to die? We love Jesus. Jesus loves us. Why are we having to go through all this mourning? 4 days. And Martha hears about Jesus coming, verse 21st. And she goes there. Mary stays at the house. Lord, verse 21, here we hear it for the first time. Lord, do you really care? But she says it this way. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I don't know how she meant it in every way, that he should have been there. If he stayed 2 days where he was and then traveled, I don't know exactly in Martha's mind what she thought Jesus should have done. But he was dead when Jesus left to go there, as he told his disciples before they went back. So now 4 days of a trip, and he's dead 4 days. And Martha's first thought is, she's astonished. Lord, why weren't you here? And so the question is, why didn't you come? Why didn't you stop this? Now, we don't know Lazarus. We don't grieve for Lazarus. Lazarus is not a friend of ours. We never knew him. He never knew us. You have to, in order to understand the grief, supply a name there that you do know of someone who did die, and there you've got it. It's hurt. It hurts. And so she says, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know even now, if you ask God, he'll give you whatever you ask him. So Martha has some hope here that it's not too late. That's her faith. A doctor, if you go to a doctor and say, you know, my brother's been dead 4 days, can you do anything? The answer is, I can recommend that you get over this, but there's nothing else to do. Jesus made sure when he got there that Lazarus was dead. I mean, he was really gone. And so Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, yeah, I know in the last day, that's what I was talking about this morning, the first resurrection. When Jesus returns, then there's that resurrection. Now, some divide Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, and different resurrections. I don't like to make it that complicated. You got your first resurrection of believers. You got your second resurrection of unbelievers. And here we hear Jesus, and when he says your brother will rise again, Martha's figuring he means, you know, he'll come back to life one day way down at the end. And that's, of course, not what she was hoping for. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Most astounding statements of Jesus, one of the I am statements. He's not just saying this is what he does, it's saying it's who he is. I am the resurrection. His person, his power, his nature is to raise the dead. His person, his nature, his divine power is to give life. And believing in him escapes death. Now, the veil between this world and the next world is a thin veil. But we can't see anything about it. The ones seeing into the next world are usually the quacks who see the lights and stuff at the end of the tunnel. And then they come back with false theology. I've heard it on Christian radio. I've heard it on Christian books. I've heard it also in secular. That they think that something's being communicated, but by going to the other side through the tunnel toward the light. But if you listen to what they say when they go over there, the things they describe when they come back, it's unbiblical most of the time. So whatever happened to them? I mean, I've had dreams that are kind of like that. But it'd be a mistake for me to wake up and say, well, let me tell you what this is like from a dream. Jesus here is saying that in his person, in his power, by believing in him, becoming part of him, being in Christ, you will live even if you die. And if you live and believe in me, you will never die. In other words, you'll never, the second death, you'll never face true eternal death. You'll not ever. Jesus is such a savior to deliver from death. The great enemy that we have. Every one of us. Now that little thin veil, when we pass from this world to the next world, it's going to make a whole lot more sense to us. I really think, you know, Paul says the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I believe when we get to the other side, this whole thought and fear of death and the process of death and dying is nothing. At that point, the sting of death has been taken away by Jesus. She says in verse 27, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And that seemed to satisfy the moment. And then she sent for Mary secretly and said, the teacher is coming, is calling for you. So Mary comes. Why didn't she come the first time? You know, grief or whatever. Now, Jesus, verse 30, had not come into the town yet, but was still where Martha had met him and where Mary was going. So Mary goes up quickly, and people being like they are, they say she's going to the tomb to weep there. The whole scene is just depressing. They're mopey in the house. They're crying 4 days' worth. They're overwhelmed, hopeless people, hanging on to just a string of hope that Jesus has come. And Mary, apparently not so much as Martha, she didn't even bother to go out to Jesus until later. And all the Jews mourning, the only thing they could think of was that Mary was heading out to weep at the tomb. That's the only thing that could possibly be. And so she goes, and what does she say? Verse 32, Lord, do you care? Or Lord, why don't you care? Or Lord, why didn't you care? Or Lord, why weren't you here? Well, it says here, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, does Jesus care? Well, we're already told that he loves them. But here he is, he let him die. All the grief for 4 days is attributable to the fact that Jesus let Lazarus die. And so she brings it up. And Jesus is moved by the mourning of death. Verse 33. Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who came with her weeping. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Some people, if one person starts crying around you, they're gone. You can't hold up with one person crying. Some are strong and they'll comfort them and not cry. Add a couple of dozen to that, a bunch of people crying. I mean, at some point, the strongest will break. It's very emotional to see the pain of other people that we love. And so Jesus, we note here, sees all that. And he groans in his spirit and was troubled. Now, we know he wasn't troubled because he made a mistake. He didn't make a mistake. He waited because the glory of God was that he would go later and do what he's about to do. So he's not groaning about that. He's not groaning because he doesn't have an answer to the problem. He's not groaning like we do where a person dies and that's it. There's nothing we can do. And we groan because it's over. He groans because of their pain. He groans because they're going through a hardship and he cares about that. And he's really saying by what he does here, yes, I do care. Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Now that was considered weakness by those who saw. Couldn't this man who open the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? They criticized him in that because he cried. He wept, but he was weeping because of their pain. He does care. But there was no change from verse 4. This is sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. In verse 15, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nothing's changed. When Jesus wept, he's weeping because he loves these people and they're hurting. He does care. They say, look, see how he loved him, but then why couldn't he do something? Why couldn't he do something? You see, right here, all the way to this point, the only thing people see is that Jesus didn't have the power to stop this from happening. He's just the same as everybody else. When he faces death, nothing he can do about it. Flash in the pan. Big sounding words, but when it comes right down to it, life and death, death comes and he's helpless like everybody else. And this is how they saw it. And so Jesus, groaning in himself, verse 38, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, move the stone. And of course they said, you don't want to do that. because, you know, they didn't embalm very many people in those days. 4 days of a dead body, there's a stench. And Jesus reminded her that he had said that if she would believe, she would see the glory of God. So they took the stone away. And Jesus prayed. And I love the way Jesus prays here. He's not putting on a show. He prays to the Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing here, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So he's thanking the Father, but he's not playing games like he just, you know, not aware of what's going on around him. He's saying this out loud for the people to hear. So, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! Now, he said it loudly. You've heard of people so loud, they'd wake the dead. Well, it's not this. That's a figure of speech to say how loud they are. Not a figure of speech to say that they could wake the dead. And Jesus calls Lazarus back. And Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days and wrapped up in grave clothes, it had to be one of the most humorous things. He comes tottering out, wrapped up in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He just came out of the tomb. When Jesus rose, all his stuff stayed there. Lazarus comes tottering out and has to be unwrapped and let him go. And what do you guess they talked about that night? Lazarus, in fact, was such an impediment to the Jews who hated Jesus. They didn't respond in belief, they responded in anger. I won't go into the rest of the verse of the chapter because of time, but you know, they were angry. They wanted to kill, in essence, they wanted to kill Lazarus because Lazarus was a source of people believing in Jesus. Well, what would be the oddity in that? Somebody heals someone who is sick, someone raises someone from the dead, that's who you got to go to. Unless you're just hardened in unbelief as the Pharisees and the Jews, unbelieving Jews were. Jesus does all of this, waiting for Lazarus to die, to show us that he has power over death. He says that in Revelation, that power over death, he has the keys of death and hell. He has the keys of the grave. He is the powerful God who raised the dead. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul talks about the resurrection of Christ, that is the death of death. That is the worst enemy we have, obliterated. It's not even close. It's not a fight. Our Lord Jesus defeats death. I like the title. I put it on the cover of the bulletin this morning. It's a title of something that John Owen wrote, The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. If you ever read it, it's going to take you a little bit of time. But our Lord Jesus is the death of death and life to us who believe. Let's all stand.